Good evening, everybody. It is... What day is it today? Why am I in so much trouble? Tuesday, August the 15th, 2023. It's the Ides of August. Hello. This is the Fakeologist Show. I come to you Sunday, sometimes Monday, sometimes Tuesday, sometimes Wednesday, sometimes Thursday, around 9 p.m. Toronto time. This is the show where, oh my goodness, we talk about media fakery, we talk about 9/11, we talk about COVIDs, and we do it on our own video platform called FakoTube. We take your calls. Basically, we're here to ease your mind about the world around you. The world is not so bad. And I have a very pleasant email from a donor. I forgot to look in my donor folder to see. I did have a few new donors on the last show. I didn't point them out because I didn't even look to see if I had any donors because we hadn't received much value for value until I mentioned, hey, if you like this show and you want to keep it going, just give us whatever you think the show is worth. And people did rise up to the occasion. But let me bring on my recurring guest, who I'm very pleased. I've snatched from the talk show call-in circuit, Lynn Ertel from Baltimore, Maryland. I'm happy to have her on the regular because she is the administrator of the Fakeologist Facebook group. So hello, Lynn.
Hey.
And everyone likes Lynn Ertel. Well, most people like Lynn Ertel. You know, if you have as many people that don't like you as like you and still listen, then you're saying something correct. That's how I look at it.
Right. And as you pointed out, love and hate are not opposites. The opposite of love is indifference.
Exactly.
Love and hate are on the same continuum, but indifference, that's about the worst thing.
I don't
want to be boring people. I don't want to be boring people, you know?
Well, you're not boring at all because you have, I think you're a septuagenarian at this point. You have 7 decades worth of information and research. Is that correct? Can we say that?
Yeah, sure.
So I think we should make more use of the people that are able to live into their 7th and 8th decades, because if nothing else, you have more experience in this realm. So you should, by default, at least know a little bit more just based on time spent, time served.
Wouldn't it be great if that were true of politicians and presidential candidates? But it's not the case with them. So
I guess that theory just goes right down the waste, down the toilet. Yeah, when we talk about Biden and Trump and Mitch McConnell and oh my God,
Nancy Pelosi. God, we did get the worst.
Feinstein. Oh,
yeah, Fetterman.
I still think Fetterman is playing a role. I do believe he's brain damaged. I mean, it's just...
I don't think he's pretending that. No, there might be an actor playing Joe Biden. That's possible. Several actors playing Joe Biden, but I think the Fetterman is.
Well, Brian, I wanted Brian to call in maybe tonight if he's listening. Brian is a regular on the audio chats. He's also our administrator at the Fakeologist Discord at fake11.com/Discord. Just go to that Fake 11 fast link and you can join the Discord, but you got to talk to Brian first. And Brian is in the medical field, I think. And he was telling me, based on his observations, that if anyone that old falls, a whole medical team should spring up because he's fallen off a bike. He's fallen up and down the stairs and you need immediate medical attention just to make sure you didn't break something when you're in your 80s.
Yeah, typically people, a single fall and you get a, well, old people tend to have soft bones.
Yeah.
A lot of that might have to do with diet.
Lack of salt.
Lack of salt, very good. We could get into a whole discussion about salt. Osteoporosis.
Not without Frank.
right. But I could probably write a book about salt myself.
Nice.
And its relationship to body pH, acid, alkaline balance, you know, and it's almost sort of divine character of salt is an essential element. But a single fall to a senior citizen can be the beginning of the end, because it invariably it might mean a broken hip.
Yes. And if you're the president, you should get checked out right away. You shouldn't just carry on and as if nothing happened.
Why are they letting us see all these videos of Biden stumbling constantly? I mean, I was just watching a video, and it's just one clip after another of Biden falling down the steps, getting on the plane or getting off.
Was that on TikTok? Yeah.
Well, YouTube even. YouTube even. And it does lead me to wonder if they've got different... the reason why I think there's several actors playing Biden is because I have some clips that show close-ups of his neckline.
Yeah, I've seen
that. And damn, if there's... yeah, you could see what looks like a silicon. And one particular interview he gave back in 2019 or early... I think it was about 2019. And on ABC, he did an extended interview, and he was so articulate in this interview, sitting there at the table. I thought, damn, how can this be? And then if you zero in, you see there's a net, there's a line right around his neck where it looks like they failed to cover up the make. There should be a cover up of the line where the silicone mask ends and the skin begins, because it's a pretty obvious looking line there that suggests that it's an actor wearing a silicone mask. And I wouldn't put it past them to do that.
Let me do a quick shout out to our latest donors, Skate and Destroy, who said he was going to donate, and he did donate, and he said that on the FakoTube chat. So thank you very much, Skate and Destroy. And Lisa F. also donated. Thank you very much, Lisa F. I don't know where she listens to the show, but she made a nice donation as well. And the person that is always sending me emails thanking me for bringing Lynn on, named Pike. He wants to be known as Pike. And so thank you, Pike, for your donation. That was last week, by the way. And that's why I said, well, I got to make sure I keep bringing Lynn on if you're bringing in the direct donations. So thanks to Pike. And Nancy K., she wrote me a really pleasant email, a very kind email. I'm going to read it real quick now. She said I could. I usually ask, by the way, before I read anything. And she is from Nova Scotia, Nouvelle-Écosse, Nova Scotia, Canada. And she says she said the community she lives in Nova Scotia is, like most, filled with people who believe everything they are told, even if it contradicts what they see. When the corona hoax started, I was sure everyone could see it didn't make any sense. And I thought people would fight for their freedom, especially the churches, but nobody at my work thought it was strange. My church just closed up. It was absolutely shocking for people how people handed over their freedom. My brother introduced me to your show, and I was hooked. Finally, it made sense. I now know nothing is real. Well, nothing in the media is real. So there's nothing to be scared of, and they only have power when we are afraid. That's Nancy K. from Nova Scotia. So that made my day. I really appreciate notes and donations, but notes are fine. And
that really sums it up, doesn't it, in terms of the fact that, and I encounter this all the time, people who, when this COVID thing hit, it basically split them from family. That's unbelievable to me. Not just in-laws, but immediate families split over this, especially over the mandates, the masking and the vaccine. Family who should have maybe at least given them at least a consideration of a hearing. Friends who wouldn't talk. Friendships destroyed. So what Nancy Kaye is talking about here is something that we've all experienced. Their ability to divide the population. And it really stuns me because there's so many like really brilliant, I mean, over the years, I have encountered a lot of brilliant people in our community, just sharp people who are studying cosmology, logic, mathematics, religion, various other subjects. And I say, you know, I know that these are like really smart, intellectually upscale people. And this COVID thing happens, and all of a sudden, it's like they're socially isolated. They don't know who to talk to. They can't talk to their neighbors. They can't talk to their friends, except for a tiny handful of people who might be willing to listen. And it really does shake you up. This is a phase that we've all had to go through. And it's kind of what, it's what has been referred to by, if I could, I like to give credit to people when I borrow their phrasing or their memes. One such meme is the notion of a reality breakdown that's discussed a lot by Matt McKinley of Quantum of Conscience or Quantum of Conscience. Some of your listeners might be familiar with him. He uses the term reality breakdown, which I think is inadequate. I think it's I think it describes how we experience it. Like, what the hell is going on? How could all these people be so clueless? They can't possibly be that stupid. They can't be that blind that they don't see self-evident truth, like a controlled demolition or a supposedly grieving parent whose child has just been shot and they're laughing in the camera. You know, that's a what's wrong here? And what we're describing is the daily, is the everyday experience we run into where people just don't, they don't want to see it. They don't want to see what's happening. And we experience that as a reality breakdown. But no, I don't think that phrasing suggests that there's some supernatural force, or that another expression that everybody's on the download, everybody's plugged in. It's like the people who are believing what they see on this mainstream media are taking the download on a daily basis in the matrix. You know, they're plugged into it, and there seems to be no way to unplug them. I have a completely different interpretation of that. I'm saying that, in fact, people know what they're doing for the most part. Some people really are stupid and ignorant, and they like being that. But a lot of people, much more of them, are making a decision in their mind to go along with something they know is wrong. They know it insults their intelligence. They know it makes no sense. We discussed this connection.
They do it for money, though.
Money. Right. Exactly. Exactly. If your mortgage depends on it, your job depends on it.
Well, your whole life, I mean, if you get knocked out of the money system, man, it's bad. It's bad news. And somebody was doing the math, you know, if it's a lawyer or a doctor, we're talking hundreds of thousands a year over a 20, 30 year period. So you're not going to give that up. Pensions, it's just, you would need a huge cash settlement to not do something, I would say.
I really anticipate massive lawsuits from people who were forced to take the vaccine at under threat of losing their jobs by either governments or local governments, state governments, federal governments, corporations. I really think they have grounds for filing suit, because after all, the way the law has been written for the vaccine manufacturers, they can't be sued directly. You know, your child can get sick and die from one of these shots, and you can't sue them directly. You have to go through these special vaccine courts. So,
and I don't know if anyone's got any money out of them. Hey, just a heads up. If anyone wants to talk to Lynn, you can call in 902-400-1984, 810-666-1984. You can call me on Skype at Fakeologist, or hit me up on Discord. Send me a message and I'll dial you directly. But yeah, we'll take your calls. If you don't think I'm getting a question in that you want the answer to, just let me... just give us a ring. Lynn, why don't we go through the Facebook page that you maintain? We actually have one person on Facebook listening to us. Can you believe it?
Well, that's good. You know, I feel like I do have a lot of friends on Facebook. I realize there's a lot of bots and sock puppets out there.
Yeah.
Sock puppet being the technical term for a Pentagon-run panel of bots. You know, there's software out there that I think you mentioned Gary.
Marcus brought that up years ago. Maybe there's other stuff by now. Probably is. There's probably many, many programs where one person can administer and have discussions and make automatic interactions between many, many, many accounts that seem like they're talking to each other, arguing. So, it's who knows who you're talking to, really.
It should be pretty easy to see through them, though. I mean, you know, I'll get a reply to something on Facebook, one of these one-liners or a reaction, and then I'll go out to the person's timeline and I'll see there's nothing there. And that tells me that it's a bot or a sock puppet. So I'll say something in response and see what kind of response I get back. And it doesn't take much to expose a bot. They just can't, they really can't follow a good logical argument. They can't. They end up coming back with the same repetitive statement, one, you know, like NPCs, right? It's the same kind of thing. I mean, they can't really, they're really building up AI and bots to be much, much more powerful than they are. You'd have to be kind of stupid to be fooled by a bot for very long, wouldn't you? You really would. You really would. They don't have much to say, usually. They make mistakes. These AI platforms, or language models, as they're called, they're not all that great.
Yeah, but I think they're getting better. I really do. The content creators definitely have to be on guard for them, because just if you took your voice or my voice, you only need a couple minutes and plugged it into I don't know the program names, but you can put, I listened to a guy who did that. He took about 2 minutes of content, of straight content without any background noise, and he put it into the machine.
Yeah, I've heard examples of that. ChatGPT and some of the others can do that.
Yeah, whatever the names are. They do work, and they're pretty good. They are good. And you can take pictures of people and plug them in, and it's really good for animation. If you want to create an animated drawing of somebody, and the software will move the face and particularly the mouth to match the words. Now that,
right, I've seen that. There's a deep fake of Kamala Harris out there, where they basically resynced the video so that it looks like she's actually saying the words they put in her mouth. Of course, she does kind of sound like a fool at times. She does kind of fumble around. But, there's a lot of that sort of deep faking going on. And you're right. You're right. We do stand the possibility of being fooled by it. And Tim Osmond of IPS pointed out just in the last couple of days how well-known columnist, lawyer, and political activist Ann Coulter.
Right.
Who I think has been relegated, he's sort of an exile. She really is only allowed.
I don't even follow her anymore, or him anymore, well, whatever it is.
Yeah, she's in Talkies magazine, which is Pat Buchanan hangs out. And also the Occidental Observer, which is Professor Kevin McDonald's publication.
Okay.
If you want to read Ann Coulter. And I think the reason why she was relegated to these margins is because she was among the first mainstream figures to identify the Epstein, Maxwell, Wexner, Buniel operation as a Mossad blackmail operation. That whatever they were doing, they were taking video of Epstein's clients and friends, and that would have compromised. Presidents, prime ministers, members of the royal family, college professors, big shots in corporate business who were going down to the island or were hanging out in one of Epstein's palaces or his ranch in New Mexico and getting on video, perhaps doing things that, with underage girls or boys making themselves susceptible to blackmail. And Ann Coulter came out and said, look, guys, let's stop kidding ourselves. Everybody who looks at this knows that this is a Mossad espionage operation, and it's classic. It's always what there may be other intelligence agencies involved as well, but given Ghislaine Maxwell's involvement, we can clearly say this is a Mossad operation. And from that point on, Ann Coulter was accused of anti-Semitism, and so you no longer saw her op-ed pieces. In the regular public.
You point out the Mossad, you're an anti-Semite.
It's
ridiculous. Yeah. Hey, let's go through your
Ann Coulter is fooled, as I say. There's images of alleged an incident on a flight, a commercial flight, where a little kid was supposedly kicking the back of the chair in front of him. and the passenger in the seat in front finally got into a confrontation, turned around and got in a confrontation with the kid's mother. It had a racial component to it, and it was put out on TikTok. You know how these things get millions of views. And sure enough, Ann Coulter and several others had commentary on it. Subsequently, it was revealed that this was a product of the Beverly Hills Comedy Society, and it was a skit. It wasn't even in a real plane, you know?
Oh, brother.
They had kind of a cheap stage set made up to look like the interior of a commercial plane, but it was all fake. It fooled Ann Coulter.
All right.
And Tim Osmond of IPS has an extensive commentary on this
okay.
week.
Okay. I missed that.
People should check out. Yeah, it shows how now they need...
That's IPS.monster, by the way. IPS.monster. He's got all his links there. And we're both fans of his, and he's on Odyssey. He's actually live now. He's live every night these days. So you'd have to go through his archives to figure out which one Lynn's talking about. I don't know which one it is.
Yeah, his Odyssey. I got the RSS feed on for his podcast that come out on Odyssey. So
me
I
too.
Never any of them.
Me too.
And what he says is these people are cognitively damaged. And they really desperately need an introductory course in auto hoaxology.
Right.
They need to become auto hoaxers so that they can approach, they don't have to ignore media narratives, but they can gain a perspective from which to discern when they're being bullshitted, you know, as was the case with this particular video. And so they won't be embarrassed and humiliated and fooled, which is what happened to Ann Coulter in this case.
By the way, the Fakeologist is streaming live on Odyssey. Fake11.com/OD. That is our Odyssey. No one's watching us on Odyssey right now. That's fine. It's just another place. You can subscribe to the Fakeologist. If you can't find us, we are on YouTube tonight, but we always delete the videos. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Even if we delete the video, the channel still gets struck down. But yeah, find us on Odyssey, Facebook, and of course our own platform, which is FakeoTube. We have 5 people listening on there. We got Dave J on there, Skate and Destroy, Kate Emma, and of course Unknown User. And Dave J says, politics is a hoax, start to finish. Thus, all commentary on that subject is a waste of time. Okay, well.
There's a lot of money. There's a lot of money. Yes, it's a waste of time. Hollywood is a waste of time, too.
Yes.
Netflix is a waste of time, too. But there's a lot of money wrapped up in that stuff. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of money wrapped in.
And
it.
Also, so that's what people, that's their narrative. So,
right.
Unfortunately, you got to talk a lot of the times about what people are involved in. Otherwise, they're not interested. You have to relate to people. And
we went to war over cartoons. That's
yes.
how I summarized 9/11.
Yeah.
I summarized 9/11 by saying we went to war over cartoons.
Or simulated war.
Yeah.
But
especially those classic clips of CNN Fairbanks and the ABC. The CNN Hezarkani and the ABC.
Yeah. Those
Fairbanks
cartoons.
Clips. Yeah, that plane smoothly disappearing into the steel reinforced concrete, the South
yeah.
Tower.
Like, hey, Lynn, let's go into your Facebook because you post a lot of stuff there. Let's go through it real quick because you have a lot of stuff on there. You have much stuff. The first thing you've got here is you did this a day ago. The fake news presents Island Inferno in Paradise. Let's talk about Maui Waui. What do you know about that? What do you want to say about that? You got a lot of stuff
okay.
here.
Give you some historical perspective on what we see happening on Maui, because you can buy the book. It's called Shock Doctrine, Disaster Capitalism.
Oh yeah.
Is it by Naomi Wolf? Is that right?
Right, that rings a bell.
And what we're talking about here can be understood in terms of Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans.
All right.
Because we're talking about so-called natural disasters, fires, wildfires, floods, earthquakes. Now, you had an extended discussion with Fake News Phil, who, as far as he's concerned, they can fake an earthquake if they want. Set off a bomb somewhere and then interview people, right? Bring out the crisis actors and tell people a quake took place here. And you don't really, how do you know, right?
Yeah.
Now, I look at the history here, and of course, in the shock doctrine, which presented there, is that it becomes a whole business model that, well, in the Chinese character for crisis also translates to opportunity. And if they can't exploit a crisis, as in, say, a natural disaster, or perhaps something like an oil tanker busting up, or something along those lines, they can. It's just as good or better for them to create or simulate such a scenario that they, that then allows them to sweep in and maybe condemn the real estate, buy it up cheap, or whatever their agenda happens to promote climate change. That's the big thing now, right? We're in a climate crisis.
Yeah, they never stop with that. They're gonna push that until all the people, all the doubters are gone, and all the young people just buy into it. They're not gonna let this go.
Oh yeah, they're committed to the climate change.
Yeah.
They really are committed to the
climate change. It's a business model, like you said.
The Great Mississippi Flood of 1927. Okay? I want to talk about this. Because I went out, if you recall, at the time that Katrina occurred, this hurricane swept in, the Mississippi flooded, and there was all this torrential rain, and then the hurricane moved out offshore. And everybody in New Orleans breathed a sigh of relief that the waters were going to recede and that the worst had passed. And what happened then, within the next 24 hours, was an even worse catastrophe, because apparently the levees protecting the Ninth Ward broke. They collapsed. People insisted that they had been dynamited.
Is this in 1927 or no?
Well, that's what I'm saying. No, this is 2000.
Oh.
I'm talking about Katrina, but I'm saying there was a precedent set for this in 1927.
Right.
And you really got to do a search to find this information. Basically, they dynamited in 1927. They had a massive, massive Mississippi flood.
Right.
In anticipation of the likelihood that the flood would sweep through New Orleans, they dynamited the levees,
right,
a particular group of levees called the Carnarvon levees, and proceeded to deliberately flood the St. Bernard Parish. I believe that's the Ninth Ward. If you've got any Louisiana, New Orleans residents, people familiar with that, please call in and correct me if I'm wrong. But in 1927, they very openly and deliberately said, hey, we're going to dynamite these levees so that we can relieve the pressure from this flood. And in so doing, of course, it meant that they were sacrificing thousands and thousands of the homes. It
says 200,000 blacks were displaced from their homes and had to live in relief camps.
Yeah, 1927. And the thing is, they were quite open about the fact that they had to sacrifice a particular poor neighborhood, working class neighborhood in New Orleans, in order to preserve the nicer sections of town. Now, when the same situation presented itself behind Katrina, which was 2004, 2005, what year is Katrina? I've forgotten what year Hurricane Katrina occurred. I'm pretty sure it was about 2005.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Sorry, I'm just reading about this parish, that you, the St. Bernard Parish. You got all this right. Yeah, I've never heard of this before.
Well, the thing is, they wouldn't want you to hear about it, because as soon as people noticed that, all, you know, people came back and said, hey, they're blowing up the dikes, they're blowing up the levees. And everybody said, no, 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 they'd never do that. And immediately the media came out saying this was a paranoid conspiracy theory, this notion that they had deliberately destroyed the levees in order to flood the Ninth Ward so that the pressure of the floodwaters could be diverted away from the more upscale neighborhoods. This was completely paranoid. And if you go out there and do a search using terms like New Orleans, Katrina, dynamite, levees, it's practically it really is difficult to find this historical record of what they did in 1927. And I think they may have also done the same thing subsequently during floods that occurred in the 30s. I'm less certain about that, but attitudes have changed. In 1927, they could say, hey, don't worry about it. We got to dynamite these particular levees, and it'll hurt thousands and thousands of blacks and poor whites, but we have to do this in order to protect the French Quarter or whatever, you know, the moneymakers, the nice neighborhoods here in New Orleans. Because in 1927, that was perfectly acceptable. But you couldn't get away with saying that in the age of Katrina.
Right.
Because when, if they'd have said, hey, by the way, we had to dynamite these levees, sorry, guys. Oh, no, that's a paranoid conspiracy theory. And so when you go out looking for, I went out looking, I said, in my mind, there was the memory that wasn't there an earlier occasion where they actually deliberately dynamited the levees.
Mm-hmm.
I said, when was it? And I went out doing a search, and damn, if I had trouble finding it.
Yeah.
I did. All those historical references were at the bottom of the search. I had to go through page after page after page to find the links that I've posted there on that Facebook group. Because they are concealing what they did in 1927. And instead, when you do a search, what comes up is conspiracy theory about blowing up the dikes. Conspiracy theory about blowing up the dikes. To my knowledge, about the only significant public figure who actually made that charge was a Louis Farrakhan of the Nation of Islam.
Oh, really? He remembered.
Yeah, he said we have confirmation of these reports that they deliberately destroyed these levees because, remember, the hurricane was over. The floodwaters had started to recede. And then these levees collapsed, and that's when the trouble really began. That's when New Orleans really got flooded, and they herded everybody into the Superdome and that drama that we saw transpired.
Yeah.
They don't want to admit that they can blow, that they'll do that. Now, why do I raise the Katrina precedent to describe what I see happening in Maui? Every year, well, let's begin with the economy of Hawaii.
Okay.
Which for centuries, well, and this is the case in the Caribbean as well. Sugar and pineapple. That was it. Hawaii was essentially sugar and pineapple plantations. That's how they were making most of their income. Right on up, really, until into the 20th century. And then in the 90s, more and more Hawaii converted to a tourist economy. And one by one, these pineapple and sugar plantations were shut down.
Well, is that
until
right?
The very last sugar plantation closed in the 90s.
I was in Maui in the 90s. That was my honeymoon. There was.
And you described seeing wildfires when you were there. Is that correct?
Well, I think they were just fires. They used it to burn down the.
They were doing control burns.
That's what you did when they want to get rid of the stubble.
Right. This is called slash and burn agriculture.
No, once they harvested, what do you call it when you have the base?
That's the bio. That's really biochar in a way.
No, just you know the farmers. Whatever's left over
after
on the ground,
they burn it.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and this is how agriculture has been done on sugar plantations for centuries.
Right,
and if you lived on one of these islands in the 17th, 18th, 19th century, when they were major income, well, in the Caribbean, certainly.
Yeah.
Leaving Hawaii aside for a second. Hawaii became a United States colony, of course. But if you were living in the Caribbean on one of these islands, it was routine right around the time that you had the sugar harvest, all this stuff was harvested, and then the garbage that was left was burned, and then the ground.
Is it called the fallow? I'm not a farmer.
Well, fallow has more to do, I think, with crop rotation.
Okay.
But and maybe that's what they should have been doing is crop rotation, because after a while, if we refer to this as slash and burn agriculture, where it was the dominant form of agriculture in South America. Central America and the Amazon, especially when the Spanish and Portuguese arrived, this is how the Mayan peoples cultivated agricultural crops in that region was by slash and burn. It's actually in a rainforest area, it's perfect because since there's plenty of water, you don't have to worry about it. You just burn whatever's there and plow the ground, and that burnt refuse of shrubs, grasses, trees, whatever, is, I guess it's a form of biochar in a way. It may not be as nutrient dense as, say, trees, but then you're ready to plant again. And so if you lived on one of these islands, controlled burns, and the whole island being on fire was a kind of a commonplace thing because it was controlled. It was managed. Now, what happens, of course, when you transition from an agricultural economy, in the case of Hawaii, mainly pineapples and sugar, to strictly tourism? Well, you know, you also had ranchers on the Hawaiian Islands, and these ranchers transplanted very hardy, resilient African grasses into the areas, the drier areas of the islands, so that they could herd their cattle and sheep, their livestock, year-round to have these grasses to eat. Of course, ranching also has dried up in Hawaii. There's probably not much ranching going on anymore. But what remains are these fields full of this invasive species of very tough, hardy grasses, African grasses. And so quite naturally, these things catch fire, particularly if you have a season that's dry but windy. In this case, the videos that I watched of what was going on in Maui showed maybe 75, 80 mile per hour winds knocking off. Of course, a lot of the root, you know, the videos showed this destruction.
Yeah.
But a lot of it's just corrugated tin house. I mean, let's face it, if you've got a corrugated tin roof and a strong wind blows through, you can't expect it to survive. So I'm kind of imagining that the housing on this island of Maui, in many cases, now I'll grant they've got $1 million estates there too. It appears that some of them might have been damaged and some of them escaped damage.
Right.
But you had this combination of a very powerful wind and these fires. Now, of course, you know, if you're living in an environment like this, fire, you know, wildfire management has to be a top priority. But let's face it, the Hawaiian Islands are not in the middle of a desert. They're in the middle of an ocean, the Pacific Ocean. And what I noticed as I looked at these videos of this firestorm in Maui was that just about everywhere you turn, you could see the ocean, you could see the water.
Yeah.
So we got an unlimited supply of water there. Where are the fire hydrants? Where are the fire trucks? Where's somebody fighting the fire? Because it's not that, it's a small enough area that when you know this is going to happen a certain time of year, you obviously want to have people ready to go to work as soon as these fires break out to contain them. Maybe not to put them out, but to contain them, to create fire breaks and so forth. And none of that happened. Even worse, there were no alarms given. Imagine that. No warning, no alarm, no emergency warning, nothing. They're claiming that this is because the high winds knocked down power lines and knocking out the power compromised the emergency warning system. That sounds like a crock of shit to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because there should always be battery or generator powered backup for an emergency warning system. It shouldn't be dependent on your normal power grid if that goes out. That's kind of common sense. And so there's a whole discussion that can go on around Maui as to the extent to which this happened because of a deliberate failure. Once again, a deliberate engineered failure to do even the most basic in terms of precautions, preventive maintenance. None of that was done, and people were not even warned. Consequently, when they started to see this fire, they got in their cars and started heading out. And of course, what you see is this monumental traffic jam on the single road out of there, the single highway to get the hell out.
And there's really nowhere to go on Maui. It's not that big of an island. Where the hell would you go? There's really nowhere to go. You're on an island.
I don't think the whole island was consumed in flames.
I realize, but just there's no big rec center or stadium to fill up over there on Maui.
Yeah, you're talking about shelter, but I'm just talking about escaping from the area itself.
Right.
There's just no excuse for this. And now we delve into the culture of Hawaii, because I had to start looking at this to realize that not only was this deliberately done because basically this Lahaina thing is a classic example of what we call underutilized real estate. you know, or undervalued real estate, whatever, because you got these people. I've seen this happen in neighborhoods. I saw it happen to a neighborhood here in the Baltimore area called Tall Trees, where this long established working class, lower middle class neighborhood, homes that had been in families for generations, but it was waterfront property. Right. What is Maui? Maui is beachfront property.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that you've got people living there in these sort of, you know, suburban tract houses, some of them not all that fancy. They're bungalows, basically. But you're not making the kind of money you could make with hotels, casinos, condos, high-rise condos. That's what they want. And so there's every incentive to burn out this ancient town, which is cardboard shacks, a lot of it. And just bulldoze it and buy up the land cheap. And the kind of thing we saw in East Palestine, Ohio, where it looks like they'd like to come in and buy the land cheap around that area.
Yeah.
Maybe the railroad wants it, you know.
Yeah.
Or Hurricane or Katrina, where disaster capitalism.
Right.
You ruin an area, ruin it through crime, you ruin it through flooding, ruin it through fire, whatever you're going to do, or stage some kind of controlled demolition and blame.
Sounds like San Francisco. Maybe they're doing the same thing in San Francisco, ruining it by crime, like you just said.
Right. This is an idea of MIBOP, made it bad on purpose.
MIBOP. I like that.
Yeah, made it bad on purpose.
MIBOP.
Something along these lines.
Did you just make that up?
Well, we're already familiar with LIHOP.
Let it happen.
These are the old scenarios for 9/11 that we went through.
My bop.
Right, right. Let it happen on purpose, which is LIHOP.
Yeah.
That was initially what everybody thought. Everybody thought, oh, yeah, there were real planes, and they had to let them through. NORAD definitely let it happen. Then, as we looked at it, we said, where are the planes? We don't see any planes at the Pentagon. And in Shanksville, all we see is a smoking hole in the ground. And then we looked at the videos from Manhattan, and they were fake, too. So we said, no planes. And therefore, it went to MIHOP, made it happen on purpose. And then we got MITOP, made it transparent on purpose. They deliberately put WTC-7 out there to let us know they did it and got away with it. See, that's for us conspiracy theorists to take us down rabbit holes. Made it transparent on purpose. My bop, which has made it bad on purpose, is something I got, I kind of inferred.
My bop. Yeah, I love it.
From reviews of the controlled demolition of the Star Wars franchise, where people say, how can this be? How can they take something that was such a moneymaker and deliberately and sell it off? Spielberg and Lucas sold it off to Disney. Disney brought in a whole new crew of writers, and they really ruined it. They just ruined it. These new Star Wars movies they've come out with, I understand, are terrible. And people were saying this can't be by accident, really. You don't do a controlled demolition of a highly successful billion-dollar
franchise, yeah.
Or take Bud Light with the Dylan Mulvaney commercial. Now, any executive would say, hey, guys, people are really going to be offended by this. Why don't we hold off on this? Or why don't we find another way to do this if you really want to target market, you know, to gaze in the trend? Like, that's such a significant market for Bud Light. You're going to ruin your customer base if you do this. But they went ahead and they did it anyway. Made it bad on purpose.
Yes.
And that's what I see happening since Dave J is saying that politics is theater and that we shouldn't take it seriously? Well, they're making it bad on purpose. They're putting this senile bumbler in the White
House.
That is true.
Or this my bot.
Blowhard.
That's great.
Yeah, or this narcissistic blowhard Trump as a, it's a form of messaging to tell you, hey, your presidency, it's crap. It doesn't mean a damn thing.
Well, that is true, though. It doesn't mean a damn thing.
Your Supreme Court, it's a clown show. Your Congress, it's a clown show. And nothing is more demonstrative of this than the politics of Hawaii. So if you want to know how could, you know, because I'm looking at this situation in Maui and thinking, how could these people who live in Hawaii not have attended to this? How could they have been so stupid?
Mm.
But then once you start looking at the political leaders that
represent, we don't need DEW weapons. We don't need any of that.
people themselves are so intellectually crippled.
Yeah.
How do I prove this? What's my proof of this? Maisie Hirono. You know who Maisie Hirono is?
No.
Of course. I mean, who could name the two senators from the state of Hawaii, one of whom is Maisie Hirono?
Well,
now,
I couldn't.
Well, yeah, if you watch the Kavanaugh hearings, I sent you, I've actually published a bunch of links down in that thread to stories about this Maisie Hirono, who I think Tucker Carlson called her the dumbest person in the Senate after Senator Hank Johnson. I forget what state he's from, but he's another Democrat in there. But this Maisie Hirono, just to give you one example of how embarrassingly stupid she sounds, she was participating in a committee hearing where they had witnesses from ICE, from the Immigration Customs Enforcement. And in the course of the hearing, she actually says, well, I don't understand. How could Donald Trump issue an executive order making it illegal to cross the border from Mexico? And the witness testifying, who is a bureaucrat from Immigration Customs Enforcement, he had to explain to this senator from Hawaii that it's illegal. It's illegal to cross over with or without Donald Trump. It is illegal for someone to cross over the border of the United States covert, you know, it's illegal to come crossing our border without permission. And reference the 1965 Immigration and Naturalization Act that says you can't come crossing the border without, you know, without permission. But this idea was completely alien to this senator, Maisie. She didn't realize that it's illegal to cross over the border without permission, without, you know, papers, without a visa, without, you know, without going through the process, you know, without going through our border patrol. And it had to be explained to her that, oh, yeah, by the way, it's illegal to cross borders. That's kind of an internationally recognized standard. She didn't have a freaking clue. And there are other hearings where you can watch this incredible mediocrity who is so stupid she's embarrassing. It really isn't hard to go out there and find videos of this individual who Hawaiians chose to represent them in the United States Senate. Why would you do this? Why would you vote for a John Fetterman, who you know is not only not qualified to serve, but is mentally disabled?
Yeah, totally.
Why would you do that? Well, why would you vote for a Joe Biden, who's, you know, is pretty much, you may not even think he's corrupt, but you know he's senile. Why would you do that? This reflects, to me, in the case of Maui, it's perfectly understandable that the people of Hawaii and Maui are so fucking stupid and irresponsible that they failed to plan for a regular seasonal occurrence, because these wildfires happen every freaking year. They know that this area, these lands where these grasses grow, used to be maintained and cultivated. They used to grow pineapples and sugar, and then the burns were controlled, and this wouldn't happen.
I think it's sort of like the forest fires in northern Quebec and northern Ontario. Same idea, maybe.
Yeah, made it bad on purpose.
Yeah.
Let's call off this clear cutting. Let's call off this clearing of the, you know, all the dead wood that they
yes.
Let's call that off. Let's just sit tight and don't worry. The fires will come, and then we can move these people out.
Well, yeah. Let's rewild it. Hey, let's go to the next post. So you did a lot there. I put a link. This will be show note number 5, where I put a link to your whole thing on Hawaii. And
yeah, especially when you consider. I mean, I got into this whole thing about the culture of Hawaii. Now, I've never been there. I shouldn't judge. Maybe the people are smarter than I give them credit for. But I had occasion to watch the Democratic Party debates back in 2018, 2019, when they were gearing up for the 2020 presidential election.
Yeah.
And there was a congressional representative from Hawaii named Tulsi Gabbard.
Oh, right, yeah.
Does anybody remember? Now, I wouldn't trust her as far as I could throw her, but I have to say this, she's really sharp. She's very smart. She's articulate, beautiful, athletic. And they allowed her into one debate. And if you've got that audio clip, you should play it sometime, where she makes a fool out of Kamala Harris. In this one debate, she so humiliated Kamala Harris, she had the whole audience laughing at Harris and cheering her on. And they would not allow Tulsi Gabbard in any subsequent debate. They kicked her out of the running after that. And she went on to go on Joe Rogan's, and she went on all these interview shows and handled things really well.
That was in 2019.
I'm looking at this Tulsi Gabbard and saying to myself, well, I don't trust her. She's one of Klaus Schwab's World Economic Forum, but look how sharp, what perfect optics. Why wouldn't the Democrats, oh God, it's like, I feel like shouting. Why wouldn't the Democrats have picked this perfect candidate to run against Trump instead of these decrepit, corrupt nobodies, Biden and Harris? They had the perfect candidate.
Senator Harris confronting Biden. Here she is.
At the last debate, you called the quote false accusation that Joe Biden is a racist. What's your response?
I want to bring the conversation back to the broken criminal justice system that is disproportionately negatively impacting black and brown people all across this country today. Now, Senator Harris says she's proud of her record.
She has a nice
as a prosecutor tan. And that she'll be a prosecutor president.
Oh,
but I'm deeply concerned
candidate.
About this record. There are too many examples to cite, but she put over 1,500 people in jail for marijuana violations and then laughed about it when she was asked if she ever smoked marijuana. She blocked evidence that would have freed an innocent man from death row until the courts forced her to do so. She kept people in prison beyond their sentences to use them as cheap labor for the state of California. And she fought to keep cash bail system in place that impacts poor people in the worst kind of way.
Thank you, Congresswoman. Senator Harris, your response.
There you go. Well, yeah.
Now, why play this? What's the point I'm making here? Made it bad on purpose. I watched this debate, and I said to myself, well, that's it right there. I said, there's her candidate. She's articulate, looks good, you know, slick, really slick. I mean, come on, let's see how she handles herself on the interview shows. And I thought to myself, surely the Democrats are going to seize the opportunity to take this Tulsi Gabbard and make a candidate out of her and dump these, you know what I mean, dump these losers. But no, they did the opposite. They made it bad on purpose. They kicked the one individual who probably would have made a really good candidate, you know, from the standpoint of optics.
Yeah, for sure. Telegenic.
The whole thing, when you look, that is what Matt McKinley would have called a reality breakdown. You look at it and say, well, this is right on, it's right in your face.
Right.
And next debate, she was gone. She was gone. They had her out of there. And then we subsequently got Kamala Harris as the vice president. I mean, you feel like smacking your forehead when you see this, because you say, who are these Democrats? So at the time that this happened, I was having a lot of I was curious about this Tulsi Gabbard. So I got into conversations with people on Facebook from Hawaii, ostensibly from Hawaii. And boy, you wouldn't believe the crap that I saw coming from some of these people. She's too big for her britches. What is she doing? We don't want her running for president. And instead of elevating this congresswoman to the United States Senate, they just tossed her into political exile and elected to the Senate this Maisie Hirono, is that her name?
Yeah.
This kind of, I don't want to say anything about Maisie Hirono's looks. That's kind of beside the point. Because we don't necessarily vote.
She's a career politician, it looks like.
Yeah, but if you ever listen to a tape of her, she's incompetent. She's as bad as worse than Fetterman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
She's horrible.
I thank all of the witnesses, and especially I would like to thank Ms. Kelly for your years of commitment to.
I'm just getting her voice off Wikipedia.
For your family and that of the other 9/11 families.
Ooh, 9/11.
I look at the numbers.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's not that there are 39 people who have even been charged. So you have 39 who remain at Guantanamo. 13 have been approved for transfer. 14 continue to be held without.
That's funny. She's talking about the so-called people locked up over 9/11 and putting fake prison Guantanamo. That whole psyop, man.
Right. She doesn't. She doesn't talk about anything on her own. They hand this idiot.
Oh yeah, but most of them are just getting talking points.
But look, people of Hawaii. I know you must have a listener from Hawaii out there.
I think Rocco somebody calls own.
Yeah, I mean, explain this to me. How can these people be so fucking stupid?
Or lit on fire.
How can they be? Right. Well, now you know how they could let Maui burn.
Yeah, makes
now
sense.
Now you know. Right. The residents of the Hawaiian Islands are fucking dumbass morons. They really are. And that's why this kind of thing is gonna happen to them. They're going to be set up for this kind of thing over and over and over again because they prefer a fumbling, bumbling, ignorant mediocrity like Mazie Hirono to a really slick, beautiful, athletic, articulate, intelligent, not to be trusted, potential candidate like Tulsi Gabbard. You put Mazie Hirono against Tulsi Gabbard, and there's like no contest. No contest! But then nice. Again, I sort of thought Dr. Oz would beat John Fetterman. I think people might have voted against Dr. Oz because they hated Donald Trump so much. Imagine that. Imagine hating Donald Trump so much!
But that's the point of him. That's the point of that character.
That you're going to send a John Fetterman or a Joe Biden, and you're going to vote for one of these guys? Like, made it bad on purpose.
That's the theme of this song. That'll be the theme of tonight's show. Made it bad on purpose. I like that.
Made it bad on purpose. And we're rubbing it right in your face, folks.
Made it.
And not only that, you people of Hawaii, the great state of Hawaii, you love it, don't you? You love it. You love being embarrassed and humiliated by this jerk, this idiot who represents you in the U.S. Senate. Made it bad on purpose.
All right, Lynn, we've been going about an hour. I only had an hour tonight because I got to start early in the morning. But, wow, you brought a lot to the table tonight. I like the other post here, 19 hijackers, 19 count indictment, and, of course, COVID-19.
All right. I forgot all about that. COVID-19. You're right. COVID-19.
They love their... They love their 19. I
should not be disrespecting you numerologists and gematria people out there. Sometimes you guys, you're on.
You don't even need gematria. You could just the straight up numbers. You don't need to add them up or anything. They just use them all the time.
It's mimetic warfare.
Yeah, mimetic war. Exactly. Yeah, that's the whole topic there as well. All right, well, make sure you join the Fakeologist Facebook group, all you people that are on Facebook. And, of course, make sure you, 19 is the Metonic cycle, as Dave J said. Thank you, Dave J. Thank you for everyone who's joined us on FakoTube. And no caller inners tonight. I figured out what I screwed up on the phones from last week, and that's probably why I haven't had any calls for about a month or two. I screwed up just one number when programming the phones, but it took a while to realize that I could dial out, but nobody could get in. That's why I didn't really notice. But remember, this is value for value. If you like this show, make sure you make whatever you think it's worth, a dollar a year, a dollar a month, whatever you think it's worth. There's no limits to download. We don't have any paywalls. We don't have any hidden sections. It's all wide open. We got forums. We've got FakoTube. We've got Facebook. We've got Discord. We've got Telegram. I just put up a new short code while you watch me. Type it in fake11.com/January 6th. If you just type Jan 6, it brings you to this Fakeologist forums page where I've got the two videos by Woo's News that really broke down the whole operation. Excuse me. The first video is 20 minutes and the second one is an hour and a half. I haven't watched the second one, but I put them up there anyway. If you really want to dive deep into that whole illusion, that's crazy. That was stagecraft beyond belief. All right, Lynn, thank you for joining. And we'll
We are the fakeologists, and we're keeping it real.
Exactly, fakeologists keeping it real. And we'll bring you back next week if you're available.
That's your convenience, sir.
And I really appreciate you answering the phone whenever I call. And thanks for doing all these posts on the Fakeologist Facebook group. And
I hope we can get more people into that. I've already made some friends over there, and we exchange links, and I found it very instructive, actually.
Yeah, well, people need to go over there while that group is still alive. It's got 38 members.
So, yeah. Right, they could kill us at any time, of course.
No, that's true. We'll just bring it back. But
I mean, Zuckerberg could personally decide to kill Fakeologists on Facebook.
That is right. That's right. And we're aware of that. So we have the forums. We have our own site. So they can make their way over from there to the Fakeologist forums as well. So everyone can do it. And Psy Girl can come back to the forums too, because she was there before as well and it worked. So you just got to get that computer fixed, right?
I need a new place.
All right, Lynn.
All right, take care.
Take care. Thanks for joining. All right, there goes Lynn. I appreciate her input. She's always fun, always full of the latest. She keeps track of everything that I don't keep track of at all the politics. Fakeologist Facebook battery 79. Just type fake11.com/Facebook. Those are my short codes. I'll put it in the chat here. fake11.com/Facebook. That's all you have to do. I've got all the fast links there for you. So click on the link. All right. We'll be back probably Thursday with Frank the Salt Guy. And we'll have the phones open on Thursday as well. Make sure you call in if you want to have a chat with Frank. Thanks, everybody. Have a good night and take care.